Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia, it's episode number 188 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Craft Bag shakes its head at the baseball purists in their Hall of Fame voting. At 12:30, as LJ Johnson contemplates committing to UT or A&M, we ask, what are the biggest pros and cons for each situation? And in mere minutes, Longhorn Hoops loses while football lands a grad transfer from Notre Dame. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. Hump day here in January. It's almost over, believe it or not. We're headed towards February. We're headed towards Super Bowl 55. We're headed towards another National Signing Day. And before we get you an update on some Longhorn stuff, let's get you an update on one of the most well-traveled athletes in a long time. Look, it's a crazy world. It is a COVID-19 world, but there are still some travelers out there that they're just traveling. Let's give some love to Tate Martell to start the show. Tate, the luggage man Martell, is on the move again, Trey.
Boy, did you guys dodge a bullet with that one.
I had heard that once he had gotten to Miami, and even though the thought was maybe he's got to play receiver, I had heard Tate Martell was done. I'd heard Tate Martell was finished moving around. South Beach is my place. I'm going to finish here. Apparently, that's not true. Tate Martell is back in the transfer portal. Shout out to Joe Cook from Inside Texas, who we have on every Monday, who recently tweeted out that Tate Martell might be at like platinum plus status now in the transfer portal. So best of luck to Tate Martell. For wherever he is going to end up. That'll kind of help us lead into our conversation today about Longhorns and Aggies and such. In case you haven't listened to this show a lot, anytime Trey and I get to have that conversation, we like to do it because Trey and I are on either side of the house divided, but we feel like we are realistic fans. We can tell you what our team isn't. We can tell you what our team is. And there is the first of what we all hope is many battles about to happen, Trey. Since Steve Sarkisian became the coach at Texas, this L.J. Johnson running back from the kid from Cy-Fair, he's the first big-time battle that's coming down to Longhorns and Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously hope it's not the last one, and I hope it's not the last one. There needs to be a lot more of these.
Sure.
If these two schools are going to get back to where they need to be in football or maybe even, I don't know, play a football game at some point.
Especially elite recruits in this state. Because that means that those guys aren't deciding between Texas A&M and maybe like an Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson or any other powerhouse program that is purging the state of its best prospects.
Yeah, can you get back to the days when 4 and 5 stars are trying to choose between the two?
Right.
And in the state. So we're going to have that discussion, but with a Tate Martell, he still hasn't figured out ultimately where it will end. But Trey, it does make me think one of the elements that to me is a part of this today for LJ Johnson and whoever else, we have not officially gotten to the point where the NCAA has allowed for the one-time waiver. But the extra question that popped in my head.
I think that is official.
Oh, I don't think they're done yet. I really don't. I have not seen a story telling me how it all works yet, if it's official. But if it's official, then you can maybe give me this detail. Do you know if teams are still going to be allowed to put restrictions on it when you transfer?
Nope.
No restrictions.
No restrictions are allowed.
So people will be able to transfer from A&M to Texas or from Auburn to Alabama or from Michigan to Ohio State. No questions asked.
One-time transfer, no questions asked. You get to play immediately.
Okay. And if that's the way it's going to be, then you look at a guy like LJ Johnson. That might make it a little easier, I guess, for him, where you'd say, look, dude, if these are your two and you pick one and it just doesn't work, you can transfer to the other. Because right now we're living in a world, and we've been living in a world where that's not true. Because if you try to transfer from school A, school A has a can kind of lay a list out in front of you and say, okay, you can't go to anybody on our schedule next year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to this rival, that rival, or whatever. And usually it's not a long, long list, but it usually makes sense because usually the Texas coach doesn't want you transferring to Oklahoma, and the Michigan coach doesn't want you to transfer to Ohio State or Michigan State or whatever. So if they lay all that out really clearly for these kids, and they and theoretically you could jump from one to the other, I would think that might make decisions like this easier for a kid like LJ Johnson.
That if he wants to jump ship?
That if he wanted to. Now, look, he's going to...
Brew McCoy style?
Right, but it obviously Brew McCoy was dealing with two blue bloods and two brands, but he wasn't dealing with rivalries. So you'd have to eat whatever it is. You'd get a social media backlash like no one else. But at least you could do it if you wanted to.
Yeah, but you don't really have to face the true wrath of the fans either. Because these two teams don't play one another.
Good point.
In football.
That is true, too. So we'll get into all kinds of angles on the burnt orange and the maroon decision that is sitting in front of LJ Johnson. And basically, we would like your help if you are a Longhorn fan or an Aggie fan or a conscientious observer and you just love college football. If you want to send us something on the Specs text line today, 337-3776. Simply put, just fill in the blanks. You pick Texas in 2021, you pick blank. You pick A&M in 2021, you pick blank. What are you picking? How are you making the choice? You want to have the city discussion? You want to have a culture discussion, football discussion? We'll get into all of that as we go on through today.
And to make sure that we leave it open for all of the smartasses out there who just want to throw shots at the other side.
Please do that.
We can also add this caveat. Why are you not choosing A&M? Why are you not... Why are you not choosing Texas?
That's true.
And it could be legitimate reasons in terms of what's going on within the football program, or it could be total smarm. That is really just you taking a cheapie.
Could be.
The other side.
That's true. It could be don't pick A&M because blank. Don't pick Texas because blank. However you want to do it, 337-3776. We'll be getting into that today. 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Justin Wells of Inside Texas about a couple of things, including the story we will start with today. Speaking of transfers, the grad transfer market is a big deal now and way bigger than it ever was, than it's been in years. And they've got this thing pretty streamlined as well. But, Trey, we've been talking about a lot of positions with Texas. One of them is linebacker. And, of course, the linebacker's coaching situation was one of the last to get filled at Texas, the inside linebackers. Of course, Coach Kwiatkowski will be outside linebackers. But now it looks like Texas gets a grad transfer from Notre Dame. And they've been playing some really good defense lately. Outside linebacker slash D-end, however you want to look at it, Ovi Agofu from Notre Dame is going to be at Texas. We double-checked pronunciation. Lot simpler than it looks. Agofu.
Yeah, it is much simpler than it looks based on the Fighting Irish pronunciation guide. And look, you always want to add bodies, especially if Sark and Kwiatkowski think that they need to shift the defense and need to add personnel at a certain position that the current roster may not fit that criteria. Perhaps he is one of those guys. He is a former three-star prospect out of the state of Michigan. His offers other than Notre Dame included Indiana, Iowa State, who knows how to pick badass defensive linemen, Kentucky, Michigan, and Michigan State, too. And he had slim production over these last 2 years, played in 9 of 13 games in 2019, played in 10 games this last season, had 13 tackles, 2.5 sacks. Perhaps he's a guy that they can feel like they can bring in and really maximize his abilities. He's not somebody that I am expecting to come in and turn into an all-conference caliber player, especially in 2021. But perhaps at some point over these next couple of years, he can become a nice complementary piece on the outside at that outside linebacker position. And just based on looking at some of his measurables, he strikes me as a guy who's going to be more of an edge setter at outside linebacker.
In terms of the production, the numbers that we're seeing, do you think it's comparable to Ray Thornton from LSU?
Yeah, there is a little bit of that there. I think those guys are probably playing on the opposite sides in terms of that outside linebacker spot. But, yeah, it is similar.
Yeah, maybe not position for position, but, like, the production level to me felt similar, I guess, in terms of, you know, the school gets its – the school certainly has respect in both cases for – there's some talent there, but this wouldn't have been the frontline talent that we were watching in 2019 or 2020. This would have been some complementary talent that we were watching. Guys that were filling in and helping out with depth.
And I kind of feel like both guys may serve in that capacity here in Austin, too. Like, they will be given more of an opportunity to gain playing time, obviously, here in Austin. It's part of the reason why they made the decision to become Longhorns. But at the same time, I am measuring my expectations for both. And that's because we've seen this not only here at Texas, but also elsewhere. Guys coming in as grad transfers who get really overblown. And a great example of this was Tariq Black last year, where he gets overblown. He'd done some nice things at Michigan, but you also do have to look at the production, too, and understand what it is that you're receiving in return and not necessarily expect every single one of these guys to become even second or third team all-conference guys. Occasionally it does happen. Trey Watson was a really solid player for this football program by the end of his 1 year here after he transferred away from Cal. But there are those examples also of dudes who don't amount to a whole lot. And Tariq Black, unfortunately, is in that category.
The offensive lineman was pretty good. What was that cat's name?
Parker Braun.
No, and there's another. Is it Calvin Anderson? Was that the kid from Rice?
Calvin Anderson, sure.
All right.
I think he's earning an NFL paycheck now.
It was not bad, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how that all plays out. But grad transfer market is going to be big, and between now and the signing day coming up in February, I heard Steve Sarkisian talking, just a few days ago about Tom Herman talked about the 8 or 9 spots they felt like they had. So now there's, been 2 or 3 of those, I guess, taken. So you're still looking at that number, maybe 5 or 6 spots left before we get to National Signing Day Part 2. So Ovie Agofu from Notre Dame, grad transfer, outside linebacker, defensive end. There's more and more guys making this choice. Like, I would turn to this guy and ask, why would you leave Notre Dame? But when you look at the production and the numbers, maybe their argument would be, man, I just need the fresh start. I need somebody to look at me with fresh eyes and give me the opportunity because they see me as this guy. They see me as the second guy on the field or the third guy on the field in a rotation. I think I can be the first guy and I just need a new opportunity. Like, I feel like that. I feel like that's his argument. Maybe that's the LSU kid's argument as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the depth chart looked like in front of both guys at their previous respective schools, but a part of you hopes that these guys are doing everything in their power to actually win the job versus kind of giving up on a situation and trying to start fresh with the hopes that something will be handed to them. And that's a common trait for a lot of people in 2021, is wanting things given to them pretty simply versus having to work their asses off to gain it.
Also, let's be fair about this. While certainly a lot is being restructured at Texas, you can also argue both of those guys will have new defensive coordinators had they stayed.
Yeah.
LSU's trying to reset things. Plus, hey, Thornton just went through Bo Pelini, okay? A year of Bo Pelini. His mental stability right now, I could understand if that kid's a little freaked out. And then with Notre Dame, their defensive coordinator is now going to Vanderbilt. Maybe he's thinking, ooh, I don't know how the reset would be. But obviously he's getting that at Texas too. So I don't know how they weigh all those things out. But maybe something to consider there. But obviously, like you said, hopefully things will go well for not only Thornton, but now for Agofu at Texas. So keep your eyes and ears peeled. We'll get Justin Wells' thoughts from Inside Texas on Agofu, on some other guys that Texas may be looking at, and yes, on the recruiting front, including the LJ Johnson discussion and his decision that he's trying to make. By the way, on that front, somebody told me yesterday, I think it was Jeff Howe on the way out, and we were show switching. Jeff Howe, I believe, told me yesterday he thought maybe he read somewhere that February 3rd might be like the last ad drop day for classes at Texas.
Ah, okay.
People are trying to figure out what is that date? What is
that? So next Friday.
Next Friday, right before the Super Bowl, the idea of, okay, if he's got to make the choice and be the early enrollee, when does it have to happen? Because I think everybody would be cool if he wanted to say, hey, I'll wait till National Signing Day and I'll go through the fall process like everybody. Like, okay, that's fine.
Well, and I think the Wednesday after that February 3rd is when National Signing Day 2 begins, correct?
National Signing Day 2 is that Wednesday, correct.
Right.
It's the very next Wednesday. So, yeah, you're right. He'd only be a couple days away from that point. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's trying to figure out he's got by that weekend to decide. And if he doesn't, he has to go the more normal, I'll come in the fall route. But we'll obviously be talking about that as we get closer to signing day.
Are colleges still mostly virtual? Or a lot of colleges back to in-person now?
I'm assuming a great deal of it is virtual. But that's something I haven't heard yet.
That's just screwball.
Like, my niece is back at it at A&M, and I'm assuming she is mainly virtual.
Why don't you text her and find
out? I'll find out.
Because that is one of the schools involved here.
Yeah, we'll find out which way it's going. I'm assuming most things are virtual right now. If you're at Texas, let us know. Shoot us something on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Speaking of Texas, they were able to get back out on the basketball floor last night. There were limitations, obviously, with a head coach that couldn't be there, three players that couldn't be there to start the game. Ramey, Sims, and Cunningham were unable to play. Longhorns end up falling 80-79 to Oklahoma to fall to 5-2 in conference play. Almost had a, Trey, kind of the Texas Tech feel to it a little bit. There was a lot. That game never felt like it had a rhythm to me. Either way, Oklahoma had a pretty good first half, and then Texas comes back and just they couldn't make little plays. Some key guys foul out. It just felt like Texas was kind of behind the eight ball all night and couldn't get themselves out of it.
Well, if you wanted to understand the collective value of the three guys who could not be at Club Irwin last night, then you got a pretty good showing for why those guys are needed individually and together. Brock Cunningham is obviously one of those lunch pail guys. You're relying more on Royce Hamm for that sort of thing, and unfortunately he fouls out in limited minutes, gets over just over 15 minutes for the game. But Courtney Ramey frees things up for the other two guards that this team is so dependent on. And Matt Coleman was having to do too much last night. It's part of the reason why he ends up fouling out to go along with just a really low basketball IQ play at the end of his game where he picks up foul number 5. And then Andrew Jones is obviously affected by that too. And Courtney Ramey being out there takes the pressure off of those dudes. And then Jericho Sims, weirdly, it's nice to have that big guy who is as capable as he is but doesn't demand the basketball. He just goes out and does his job, and I think it fits in perfectly with the rest of the personalities on this roster. Last night what you saw, Chad, is a bunch of individuals trying to figure out how to come together to get something done. And they nearly pulled it off in the second half, in part because Oklahoma was so inept on offense and just kept settling for bad three after big bad three, or making a half-hearted attempt to play hero ball and either turning it over or taking a bad shot. Ultimately, though, it wasn't meant to be, in part because Texas basketball had some low IQ moments in terms of guys that they needed out there down the stretch who fouled out of the game. And I'm thinking specifically about Royce Hamm and Matt Coleman. I understand Greg Brown also fouled out. I take a little bit more issue with Brown's fifth foul in terms of I think that could have been called a charge. I know we heard that he was sliding just enough one way or the other that the foul call was justified. There is no good excuse for either Matt Coleman and Royce Hamm committing their fifth fouls like they did. And it was also frustrating to watch once again, and I know they had more of a play drawn up on that final play, but just to watch them once again, much like what happened with Texas Tech a few weeks ago in the loss here in Austin, them not having a good enough plan in place to actually get a decent shot off at the end to give you a chance to win that basketball game.
Yeah, that was a rough ending. It definitely another rough part of that, and that's what they're going to have to figure those out. To get yourself into those games is one thing, and to come out of it saying, "Well, you played pretty bad and you still made it close," that's not enough. You were supposed to be the fifth team in the country last night. And I know you had limitations and problems and guys couldn't play and somebody's already texted, "Oh, the refs sucked." Right, I get all that.
The refs did suck and it benefited Oklahoma a little bit more, but guess what Oklahoma is good at and has a reputation of? Drawing fouls, of being aggressive to the basket and drawing fouls. And Texas, by the way, has a reputation as a team that fouls a little bit. So when you're already shorthanded, that needs to be in your mind as you're going about your business, especially because some of these guys were getting in foul trouble in the first half, and Oklahoma was hitting everything. Give them credit offensively. I don't think they run a good offense necessarily, but they were hitting their shots in the first half, and it's what led to them having that what was close to a 10-point lead at halftime.
By the way, we're getting some text in, Trey. Somebody says, my son is at Texas Tech, all classes virtual. Another person says, as an employee of UT, I can assure you it's a ghost town, all virtual. Somebody said, my daughter's at A&M, two in-person classes, two virtual. So there may be, depending on what classes you're taking, there might be a little bit of a mix, but mainly most everything is virtual as they're starting up.
I guess it matters less than it does in high school, junior high, elementary school, which I think are more in-person than virtual at this point. The elementary school element of that, at least up at Vista Ridge and their corresponding schools. But it's a shame that we have not been able to get back to something closer to in-person classes. Even if you're trying to figure out a way to maybe add some spacing to the classes or have less of an enrollment so you don't have students sitting shoulder to shoulder necessarily. I hope that maybe not this semester, but by next fall, we are able to return to that part of what we used to think of as normalcy.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, coming up at 12:45, the crap bag. We'll take a look at the Major League Baseball evening. Trey told you they were going to do a four-hour special on the Hall of Fame class, and we'll tell you how that rolled out at 12:45. Up next,
four-hour special for nothing, Chad.
Up next, though, let's get the smack talk started. We've already gotten this text. I would never pick A&M because I've never had the desire to farm animals, and since it's a requirement, it doesn't fit my personality. There you go. Let the smack talk begin between the Longhorns and the Aggies. LJ Johnson's got a choice to make. Trey and I thought we would dig into that choice a little more. When you pick UT, you pick blank. When you pick A&M, you pick blank. Let's give LJ Johnson some things to think about coming up on the Horn.
I want me some glory hope.
Trey's continuing the two-part musical discussion this week in honor of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, Trey's favorite dessert and candy of all time. Reese's Senior Bowl is this week.
I don't know about favorite dessert. Definitely favorite candy.
Favorite candy. But so he's going Black Keys today. This is, man, this album, one of my favorite second albums of a band. I guess Brothers would be considered the first record, right, for them?
Ooh, that is a good question. Let's see real quick.
Maybe there's a random one before.
No, they had...
They had a lot before, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. First one I heard was Brothers, so that's my bad. So the follow-up to Brothers being El Camino, I love that record, and Lonely Boy is a great song. So we'll be going with some Black Keys for you today. And, yes, if you get a chance to check out the Senior Bowl, Sam Ellinger in attendance, Taquan Graham in attendance, and they will go 1:30 on Saturday, NFL Network, to check out the Senior Bowl. And we're going to be hopefully catching up with Alex Dunlap of RosterWatch.com and OrangeBloods.com. He's in Mobile, and we're going to try to set him up tomorrow on the show. So stay tuned for that. Also, we're getting some good texts in as we start the Longhorn Aggie discussion. Before we jump in there, let me remind you, we do have a high school basketball game for you this week on the IHS Fan Network. It is Cedar Ridge at Round Rock, both teams up at the top of their district. You can hear the game at hornfm.com or flexatx.com, or you can go to the Horn app and get it that way. Also, if you're a Cowboys fan, you have a couple more days to get after that $100 gift card to the Cowboys online store, courtesy of Miller Lite. Just go to the contest page at hornfm.com. Got to be 21 or older to win that. Miller Lite, of course, the official light beer of the Dallas Cowboys. So, Trey, there's a lot of places I guess we could start on this, but we'll start with Chris's text here. It says, if a title is what matters, then it might be a good idea to pick A&M, guaranteed spring game championship.
Mm.
There it is. There it is.
Good misdirection there.
My goodness. We already got the I wouldn't pick A&M because of the farm animal joke. Then we've got, honestly, as a Longhorn fan, you may choose A&M because of 10 years of inconsistency and drama at Texas. Obviously, the city goes to Austin, but A&M on the rise and no Bijan Robinson in front of you on the depth chart. So there's going to be a lot that LJ Johnson has to figure out. But, Trey, I would argue that both schools have, a fairly solid argument to make. Somebody else texted us, though, that Jimbo does have the culture set now. A three-year head start, if you will.
Yeah.
And maybe you could look at it that way, where with Steve Sarkisian, there is the promise of something, but you haven't seen it yet, and you have seen what A&M, you know, has planned.
Seems like the guaranteed carries are established at A&M, because Jimbo has not only been there for a little while, but the offense that he runs, it leans heavily on getting the running back the ball. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Pro-style offense?
No doubt.
You think Sark is going to do that as well? His track record shows that even if he throws it more, which I have no issues with, obviously, with this current era of college football, when he does give it to a running back, he gives it to that guy consistently.
Yeah, I mean, the argument that he could make to me is so simple. It's just, you know, the mock drafts are starting to say that Najee Harris will go in the first round, maybe late in the first round. I coached him, and here's how I used him in the national championship game. He got 29 touches and 3 touchdowns.
And Jimbo, by the way, can point at that, too, as a pro for coming to A&M and playing for him. How many guys has he sent to the league? How many running backs? And how many of those running backs were first-round draft picks, too?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I think, in general, that's another thing I was thinking of driving in today. If your overall argument is about, if you want to go to the NFL, Steve Sarkisian's got to get that evened up a little bit, because the Aggies are sending more guys to the league right now, overall, and higher draft picks overall. If you want to expand even outside of the running back position, you've got, obviously, there's a receiver about to play in the Super Bowl. You have a Super Bowl MVP not that long ago that went to A&M. So you've got first round offensive linemen. You've got all kinds of discussions you could, you know, arguments to make there.
And speaking of offensive line, that is something that works to A&M's advantage right now.
Right.
More than Texas.
Now they are losing three or four, I guess, seniors off of this offensive line, but they have been recruiting really well that way.
I was about to say, and Texas has not. Texas has had to take some chances because Herb And was so bad at that part of the job.
Right.
And the guys started to develop a little bit in the second half of 2020, but what's behind the dudes who are no longer there now?
So the discussion we're having today essentially is, you know, LJ Johnson's trying to figure it out. Somebody let us know, Trey, that coming up on February 3rd, it's the 12th day of classes. It's the last day that you can add or drop. An undergrad can add or drop classes, is what they're saying. So maybe that's why people are thinking that February 3rd could be a big day for LJ Johnson. But the stories we hear, this is a Houston area kid, so he's an hour and a half. You're growing up about an hour and a half from one and 2.5 from the other. So there's nothing that would necessarily make you lean one way or the other. The stories are that in his heart, he's a Longhorn, or he's been a little more Texas than A&M during his life. Is that what you've heard? A little more of a Longhorn guy?
No, but I haven't probed deeply into this one. I'm letting it play out first.
So that could be an ingredient, too. How did you grow up? Who'd you grow up around? Is there anybody you respect a whole lot that took you to games, right? Did you go to games as a kid? Have you seen what it looks like on a Saturday when that team has a home game? We're talking about you're talking about 100,000-seat stadiums in both cases. Remember, the only state in the country that has two 100,000-seat possibilities is Texas. It's the only one. Mm. Alabama can't do it. Nobody else can do it but Texas. When they both host on a Saturday, it's like no other place in the country. So the atmospheres are there. Have you seen it? Have you been to a game at Kyle Field? Have you been to a game at DKR? Do you know what that looks like? Do you know kind of what it is? Because, you know, you're picking your colors for a long time. You're picking your fan base for a long time. You want an alumni base that'll help you get a job? I don't really think you can make a bad choice. I really don't. In this state, especially if you want, you go anywhere in this state, you'll find them. They're there, right? Longhorns are there, Aggies are there. You're fine on that one.
Now, Texas does have Texas A&M's number with regards to taking insensitive statues down.
Aha. Now, that's true. If you're going to have the cultural discussion and that's going to matter, then as we sit here, the update is they still haven't moved the Sol Ross statue. They're still trying to figure out what to do there. The Longhorns haven't clearly defined what the Eyes of Texas thing is going to be.
We know what's going to happen with that,
but we do know basically what's going to happen. So, and again, on the serious angle of this would be, you know, if I'm an athlete, if I'm the parent of LJ Johnson, if I'm a friend of LJ Johnson's, to know, okay, you are a young black athlete trying to make your choice. You need to figure out what culture you're walking into. You need to figure out, you know, do you want to have a voice? How much of a voice do you want to have? Does your voice get shut down by a certain fan base or not? However you look at that. But, you know, they're not stupid. They could also look at, like, Tom Herman and the team marching to the Capitol in Austin, and maybe it feels like the team was pretty supportive there. But then they could look at maybe Kellen Mond going face-to-face with alumni in front of that statue, and maybe that didn't make the Aggie alumni base look dazzling that day. I don't know. I don't know how the kid is going to look at that. Maybe that's not even important to him. Maybe he's thinking, I'm not political. I'm not going to get into all that stuff. None of that matters to me.
Plus, if LJ or his family are big animal lovers,
mm-hmm.
you guys have that saw 'em off tradition.
That is true.
Sawing the horns off of a steer.
That is true.
That's not good imagery.
That is the saw 'em. And then you also have to figure out how to make sure you're safely doing the saw 'em off with COVID, and you stay as, you know, everybody's tight quarters.
I've always imagined one of those 6-foot saws where you have a person on each side.
The cross cut.
So I think you're safe there.
Yes. Yes, that is true. That is true. It does. Yeah, I mean, the, you know, the animals that you're going to be around, are you more of a, you know, you more of like the big steer, longhorn kind of vibe, livestock as your mascot, or are you a dog person? Because A&M, they go with the dog angle.
Yeah, you guys have a weird relationship with your animals. The dog is controlling whether or not a class is allowed to stay in session.
Yeah, that can happen.
There's the whole bestiality bit, and the farm animals that you don't go that route with, you decide to physically maim.
It's your people that have created that bit. We did not create that bit. That bit is just a bit, and y'all love it, and that's fine. But no, we don't. We have a special relationship with the planet. That's what it is. I keep telling you people this. We have a special relationship with the planet. We are an agricultural people, so we are very connected to the plants and the animals and all that.
What are all these smattering of buildings that I see every time I go to College Station? You leave Caldwell, you eventually have to take that right to get going towards College Station. There are these official A&M buildings that mention things about animals, but we don't know the specifics there.
See, you also bring up an interesting point. One of the things that when I think back to November 24th of 2011, I can remember the looks on the faces of a lot of Longhorn fans that were walking out of there after their team got that big win. But some of them have never been back.
Mm.
And every time I'm in College Station, I always think, I wonder how many Texas fans don't understand what's in College Station. Because the old argument has obviously been, Austin's better than College Station, end of discussions, full stop. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you're making the argument, I get the argument that's made there. But in terms of facilities, football facilities, A&M is as good or better than anybody.
Yeah.
And in terms of space, it's spread out in a much different way than what it is, how it is set up at the 40 acres. It's just different. And the number of people that were in College Station for, say, the Alabama game in 2013, it blew my mind. I still can't believe I saw that many people in College Station. High-rise, like apartment-style dorms in College Station with not breweries, with like beer places, drinking establishments on the bottom of them.
Oh, interesting. See, I haven't been past campus in a while. I still go there every couple of years for Thanksgiving with the family. But I haven't probed right around the campus area.
So A&M had to upgrade things for the SEC. Otherwise, they were going to get left behind and the SEC was going to rip them for it. So they had to figure out, all right, if we're going to go up to 100 and something thousand, we got to figure all this out. So it's a little more of a, it's still a college town vibe, but it's got a little more of a city thing to it. So that's going to be factoring into what LJ Johnson is looking at, right? He's an hour and a half away. And that's where I've always said, if you really can't decide between those two, that'd be one of my first questions. Are you more of a city kid? Are you more of a city mouse? Or you're more of a country mouse? Because in general, if you're more of a small town vibe, A&M might be a, even though, like,
not might be, A&M is the better of those two choices.
Enrollment-wise, it's actually been even for a while, or A&M's got more, but that's not what we're talking about. In terms of space, again, square footage, A&M's got probably more, I don't know how much more, in totality. That's not what we're talking about. It's just the feel of the place. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to school in a city, I would tell you to go to Texas. But if you want to go to a college town, College Station's more of that. It's more of a college town vibe than Austin. Like I always say, Austin would exist with or without UT. But College Station is College Station because of Texas A&M. It kind of, I can't imagine, like, what would it be without the school, right?
Lane's Chicken Fingers.
Right. Nobody ever says, what would Austin be without UT? It's still a city.
The capital of Texas.
It's still going to be the capital of the state. It's still going to have the music. It's still going to have all kinds of stuff. So that's something LJ Johnson has to figure out. Is he a true, like, Houston kid in terms of Houston? Is he a city kid, Houston kid? Or, I've never been to Cy Fair specifically to know where that is.
Cy Fair
is... Is he on the outskirts? Is he a suburb kid?
Cy Fair is northwest, which would actually put him significantly closer to College Station also. Obviously, it's closer to Austin, too, going up 290, but that is a quick drive from College Station to Cy Fair.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe that factors in, too. If you have anything to add to LJ Johnson's conversation and thought process, let us know. Specs text line 337-3776. We're just trying to help him out. He needs to make a decision if he's going to be an early enrollee. We're trying to go over the burnt orange and maroon of it all today as he tries to make that choice. We'll discuss that and some other stuff with Justin Wells of Inside Texas coming up, including this grad transfer linebacker from Notre Dame that the Longhorns just got. Get his thoughts on that and some recruiting. Up next in the crap bag, Major League Baseball got all of the votes in. And the answer is nobody. This is the Horn. Yes, indeed. The Black Keys today. Trey's going with the two-part gig the rest of the week in honor of chocolate and peanut butter. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Reese's is your sponsor for the Senior Bowl. Black Keys, Howlin' for You. Is that the title of that one? Is that right?
It is. Howlin'. No G on that one.
Oh, man. Great song. Great song. Never got to see the Black Keys live. Maybe one day that will happen. Hopefully they will get back on the road very soon. Shout out to those two-piece bands and maybe great duets and other stuff we'll play for you as the week goes on. If you're just jumping in, we are having the Longhorn Aggie discussion for LJ Johnson because he's got to make a choice at some point. We'll get into some more of those ingredients coming up. Also, we mentioned that Tate Martell is transferring again. First it was Ohio State, then it was Miami. And now who knows where it will be. We'll get to some more of that discussion as well. Here's an interesting text that came in. If you come to Austin and the Longhorns, you have true rivals, where the Aggies wish they had an actual rival to play. I'm not sure about the wish part, but they're right about the rival thing, Trey. If that matters to LJ Johnson, if you want to be a part of a badass rival game, your choice is pretty simple. It occurs every year in October in Dallas. The Aggies don't have anything like that anymore. Now, if you want a better schedule overall, and you say you want to play more badasses overall on your schedule,
get your ass kicked by Alabama every year,
maybe there's an argument there. And obviously, I've said this before, both teams have a Crimson issue that they've got to get through. But Texas is in a rival game. A&M is not Alabama's rival. It's a very different discussion there. And
Texas does play A&M a couple of times throughout the course of what would be your career here in Austin, too. So you do get that game twice, even in Austin.
Plays who now?
Alabama.
Yes, that's true. You're right. Texas would play Alabama one time, and you'd get one in Tuscaloosa, too.
Right.
So, yeah, if playing Alabama is something that specifically mattered, you're right. You could actually make arguments on both sides. Do you want to play Alabama twice or four times? Which would you want that to be? Huh. Maybe that'll get into LJ Johnson's discussion. All right, let's get into the crap bag here, because baseball was awesome yesterday.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. It's really simple because counting to zero doesn't take long. Class of 21 for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is nobody. No one. Curt Schilling was the leading vote getter, 71.1%. That ain't enough. If you don't know, you need 75% to get in. Bonds was at 61.8, highest he's been, but not good enough. Clemens was at 61.6, highest he's been, but not good enough. So all three of those guys will be on their 10th run next year for the regular writers committee. And then you would go to the veterans committee after that. Interesting sort of the difference in those things, Trey, to me, is Curt Schilling, if you don't know, Curt Schilling's being considered for the Hall of Fame because of some away from the game stuff. Things he's put on social media, political type stuff. He's a little more on the conservative side than others are comfortable with at times. Bonds and Clemens, it's about roids. We know that. It's about the perception of roids. There's no proof on either one of them, but they've all gotten on their high horse and decided they don't get in. So after next year, my argument would be Bonds and Clemens' chances of getting in the Hall of Fame go to the floor, go to zero, because I think the veterans will keep them out. But, Trey, will the veterans side with Schilling and say, it's not about politics, it's not about this, the man didn't murder someone, the man didn't keep people hostage in his house or something over a period of 10 years, they didn't find body parts in his refrigerator, he made some, you know, tweets and social media posts about stuff and he gave opinions. We think he's a good enough baseball player, he should get in. I think he's got a much better chance with the veterans than Bonds and Clemens.
Yeah, you may be right about that, but it's possible the veterans choose Bonds and Clemens over Curt Schilling because he isn't making it political, and even though there is the steroid scandal hanging over both of their heads, they're just more deserving in general, even with the steroid thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Curt Schilling, to me, is borderline at best. I don't think I would vote for him as a Hall of Famer just based on his playing career. The political stuff is another story, but it is interesting that a lot of people don't have the ability to separate those two things. I mean, it cost him his job at ESPN.
Yeah, it did.
His political beliefs.
It's cost him multiple things.
And it may be costing him a Hall of Fame appearance now, too.
This is the first time since 1960 that the writers don't have anybody that got 75%, and it's the ninth time.
I thought it was since 2013.
It was the ninth time ever. 2013, okay, sorry. This is the first time the writers haven't had somebody since 1960. This is the first time since 2013 that nobody gets in because the veterans didn't meet.
Gotcha.
Because of COVID, the veterans committee didn't get together. Back in 2013, there was at least some veterans guys that got in. This will be the first time since 1960 nobody's in, and the ninth time we've had literally no one in the class.
Boy, baseball purists are a miserable lot, aren't they?
Wow.
I feel like baseball would do itself a favor if it really is trying to gain young eyes and ears to pay attention to the sport and keep the sport going on, that they could do no better for themselves. I don't care what in-game strategies they try to change or shortening commercial breaks or this or that. Just kick the baseball purist out of the club. Don't let these guys have a say-so anymore.
And, Trey, here's what the next 2 years are going to be for them. They need to enjoy this July, assuming we're back to somewhat normalcy. Derek Jeter gets in. That's a lock, right? No problem. First ballot. Thumbs up. Yep. Derek Jeter. Larry Walker gets in, too. And then next year, A-Rod and Big Poppy become eligible. A-Rod admitted that he did it. He tested positive. David Ortiz is supposedly in the group that tested positive in 03, leading to the steroid policy in 04. They are at least the suspicion level of Bonds and Clemens, if not more in Ortiz's case, and definitely more in A-Rod's case. A-Rod is basically Palmeiro at this point.
Yeah.
So their morality, are we about to have 10 more years of that? Are they going to put A-Rod and Ortiz on that ballot for 10 years and we're going to watch 44%, 48%, 56%, 62%, and then in the end it won't be 75%? Is that what we're going to watch?
A-Rod's an interesting example because, yes, he did own up to it, but boy is he disliked just as a human being.
Right, but what does your baseball fan gut tell you about A-Rod as a Hall of Famer?
Of course he's a Hall of Famer, but right. If you put him in before Bonds and Clemens, anybody who votes him in over Bonds and Clemens.
Right. That's silliness.
Should no longer be allowed to vote for this.
Yeah.
Because you, at this point, you aren't even using any semblance of rationale.
Yep.
Because both, or all three guys, I guess, are guilty of getting to that point historically because of a performance-enhancing drug. And A-Rod, in different ways, was as bad of a dude, like in terms of likability, as unlikable as Barry Bonds, but again, for very different reasons.
Yeah, and that's to me where you go. I know they've got a
Bonds was an a-hole.
Yeah,
A-Rod is a scumbag.
I know they've got clauses in there about a morality clause or a character clause or whatever, but at some point, there's a group now that's just forming of guys that are Hall of Famers anyway. Anyway, it's already Bonds and Clemens.
Yeah.
We're going to add A-Rod to it. I would argue Ortiz is that guy. I don't know if he's not as that clear an argument, but I think Big Poppy's a Hall of Famer, and they're going to probably leave them all out. So just get ready for that coming in the next few years. By the way, Curt Schilling does say he wants off of the writer's ballot next year in his 10th year. I don't think that's how it works, Kirk, but nice try. We'll see what happens. All right, coming up, we will get you Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Longhorns get a grad transfer linebacker. Basketball team loses another close one last night. We'll get Justin's thoughts on that. We're closing in on National Signing Day 2. Plus, we'll throw some stuff at Justin. Our Longhorn and Aggie question today for LJ Johnson, and also our question of the week. Who is the greatest athlete of your sports viewing life? We'll throw that one at Justin, too, on the horn.